Hallelujah. Praise your holy, righteous name, O Lord. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, the title of this message is the Bartimaeus miracle. The Bartimaeus miracle. And if I was going to give it a subtitle, the subtitle would be Steps to Receiving a Miracle. Steps to Receiving a Miracle. And what we have in this narrative here, we have a wonderful picture of what it means to believe God for a miracle. God wants to bring miracles in your life and in my life. He wants to manifest His power, His might, and His glory. He wants to bring His miracle-working hand to bear, that He may be magnified and that He may be glorified and that you and I may be blessed in His name. And we want to kind of normalize miracles just a little bit, if you understand what I mean by that. That we can understand that they are obtainable, that they belong to us. That was the title of Easter Sunday's message, that they do belong to us. They belong to us. It's not some mystical, mysterious thing that drops out of the sky to where you have no rhyme or reason to it, and you don't know how it happened, and you don't know how it ever happened again. You know, that is not what God wants us to know about miracles. So we open up our hearts and we receive from the mighty good hand of the Lord these steps that we find in the Word of the Lord. So we're going to start here in Mark chapter 10. Our story begins right here in verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as He was going out from Jericho with His disciples, a great multitude, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. Now, I want you to see that there's a great multitude. I mean, you can just probably imagine the chaos that was ensued. You can imagine all of the people that are trying to get the Lord Jesus' attention. It would be almost like a circus atmosphere that would be going on at the time. You know, there would be people that would be begging. There would be people that would be crying. There would be people that would be shouting. There would be people that just want to see something. They want to see a miracle. They want to see something take place. And they're inquisitive. You know, they're questioning. They're wondering. All of this is going on. And you can just about imagine. And then here's this helpless man, this beggar man by the name of Bartimaeus. And I don't see him. He's beside the road. But I tell you what, you can imagine, if you ever been somewhere and you're standing, you got your spot. You know, I've been some events where I've got my spot. Oh, boy, you know, I got a good spot right here. And then when all the people and the crowd starts coming in, I was on the front row. All of a sudden, I find myself back on the 16th row. I have a feeling that this is the way things were taking place at this particular point in time. Now, one of the things that I want to bring out to you right here is that I find it very interesting, you know, that it not only tells us who this gentleman is, that Bartimaeus, but then it goes on, it says, the son of Timaeus. Well, that's very interesting, and I thought that might be a key for us, and that is that the name Timaeus, it means this in the Greek. It means to drive away or to drive off. To drive away or to drive off. And you can notice, if you'll notice it here in his name, in Timaeus' name, in Bartimaeus, that, you know, that's where, you know, Bartimaeus, I believe that he probably was, he was Timaeus the second or junior or whatever that would be. But a lot of times what happens is that people take on names based upon the circumstances that they're in or they're experiencing at the time. So when you take Timaeus and you add Bartimaeus to it, Bartimaeus just simply means a beggar man. A beggar man. You know, now he didn't, you know, things didn't, you know, really, this guy that's had a desperate, desperate life. You know, and I will give an example here, and may I say to you, I have permission to give this example, so I'll say that before I do it. But my wife over here, Beatrice's name, you know, her family name is Beatrice Ajayo Yuma, okay, and that is Y-U-M-M-A. That was her maiden name, and her mom and dad was John and Sarah Yuma. But her middle name was Ajayo. And the name Ajayo means unloved. It's unloved. Now, I want you to hear this, because it wasn't because that Beatrice wasn't loved. It was because of the circumstance Sarah, her mother, was going through at the time. And that was her father's sisters were mad because she had a girl instead of having a boy. And they persecuted her for it. And as they persecuted her for it, Beatrice's mother named her Beatrice Ajayo, unloved. Not that Beatrice was unloved, but all the unloved that was coming her way because she had a girl instead of had a boy. Myself, I'm kind of glad she had a girl. I can throw a joke out there occasionally from time to time. So anyway, so praise God. So I want you to know that type of thing, that's what we have right here, is based on the circumstances. And Bartimaeus was that, you know, he lost his sight. We'll see that. We'll see that. For example, you'll come back up here in verse 51. In verse 51, and answered him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." So obviously he had sight. He lost his sight. But his family, you know, the way things worked back in that day is that property and all that was passed on from one to the family and stayed in the family. It wasn't like, you know, oh, we're going to move and we put a for sale sign and get the realtor, right? And they'll come out and, you know, to sell our home. That's not the way it was. You know, you kept your property. Your property were very important for your place in society. You know, and we find it here that Timaeus was driven out. You know, he was driven off, whatever that means, whatever happened. But I can just simply say this, that Bartimaeus was at the bottom of the barrel. You couldn't have got it any place where you'd be any more helpless. You couldn't have come to a place of being any more hopeless in life. But there's something else that I want you to see right here. It goes on, and it says that he was sitting, verse 46, it says he was sitting by the road. He was sitting by the road. And then I want you to go on, and I want you to I want to make a reference to something. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus, the Nazarene, he began to cry out. He began to cry out saying, look what he said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." When he made reference to Jesus, Son of David, he was really crying out to Jesus and declaring, I believe you are the Messiah. I believe that you are the Messiah. That's what he was actually saying. And I don't know about you, but I think of myself when I'm praying and when I ask for mercy and before the Lord. When I ask for the mercy, I'm humbling myself before God, and I'm opening up my heart before the Lord, you know, and I'm appealing to God. I'm appealing to God on no other basis other than and who He is. And you understand for Him to say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me," is the equivalency of you and I coming before the Lord and saying, "In Jesus' name, in that," as I take a side note here for just a minute, you have the power to believe God. The devil will challenge you every step of the way in your faith, but you have the power to believe God. You have the power to be able to believe God for His miracle-working hand. And the devil will fight you every step of the way to lie to you, to challenge you, and to cheat you. And I want you to hear that. He'll lie to you, he will challenge you, and he will seek to cheat you. You know, as I was looking at all this, I'm just going to tell you what I felt and what happened. You know, I was praying and I was seeking the face of the Lord, and these things were moving on my heart. You know, as I was just before the Lord, you know, that in these things, oh my, how my people are becoming dangerous. That's what I heard. Oh my, how my people are becoming dangerous. Dangerous in this world. Dangerous to that kingdom of darkness. Because when he finds a people that say, I'll stand up, I'm willing, I'm going to get on the front lines. I will stand in faith. I will stand out there and I'll believe God for the incredible, for the impossible. You know that, and I'm just going to read this real quick. It says in Romans 10:17, for faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I had given that to you. It means that you decide that you're going to hear what God says. You know, as the old song goes, and as it talks about in Numbers 14, is whose report will you believe? Now, that's a decision that's before every last one of us. And whether you're going to go into the promised land of God's promises, the land of milk and honey, is the covenant of Almighty God. And you're going to receive, and you're going to walk in that covenant, and that's how you're going to live. Then it takes believing God. Verses that, oh my, there's so many giants in the land. Oh, there's just so many giants in the land. Whose report will we believe? And that is always before us. That is always before us. You know, I also gave to you in Romans, listen, Romans 12:3. And I want you to hear it. It says, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. God has put faith, he has deposited faith within you. That word measure, the Greek word is metron, M-E-T-R-O-N. And it means a measure or a proper measure or standard. You have the power to believe God. I want you to hear this. In 2 Corinthians 10:13, it says, but with hope that as your faith grows, I want you to hear that word, as your faith grows. Faith has to be exercised in order to grow. You had to be saved 25 years, but you've never really stood in faith. Faith has been nothing more than a doctrine. It's a reference. But maybe if you have never practiced faith, then your faith is weak and it's still in a baby stage. If you exercise your faith will grow stronger and stronger and stronger. I don't know, why has not this been taught like it should be in the church, but it hasn't been taught the way that it should be, and a lot of Christians haven't even known that I need to apply my faith, I need to believe in my heart, I need to confess with my mouth, and I need to stand in endurance of faith and wait on God to see him fulfill the promise. There's a lot of Christians that just haven't even known that. And one of the greatest challenges for a lot of Christians is this endurance of faith. Endurance of faith. I'll get to that in a minute. But I want you to hear that. I want you to know that. I want you to hear what that said. As your faith grows, alsanzo, A-U-X-A-N-O, that's that word for grows. It means made to grow. It means made to grow. And then here's another one. This is in Romans 4:20. Yet this is with Abraham. Yet with respect. Now listen. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. Now listen. But grew strong in faith. So are you hearing these words? Faith is not just something that's, it's not of you. You've got the measure. It comes from God. It's been given to you. But you have to act on it. And if you will act on it, the Spirit of God will see to it that it grows strong. And it will not be based upon what your perception is. See, that's one of the places the old devil gets you. You know, see, he's challenged you. He knows the power of faith. He knows it'll bring the miracle-working hand of God. He knows it'll bring the blessings of the Lord. He knows it'll bring fulfillment of the covenant of Almighty God. He just doesn't want you to know it. And one of the things he just loves to do, you take that stand in faith, and you got to endure in faith. You got to stand in that faith. And then he'll sneak up on you, and he'll say, how do you feel? Do you feel strong in faith? Do you understand? He's trying to get you to act in your natural senses on a perception level that has got nothing to do with your faith whatsoever. And then you look at yourself and you go, oh, I don't really feel too strong. And he just got you. So praise God. You know, it's in, oh, I didn't finish my story. I got to finish my story. And that is that when Beatrice got saved, when she got saved and she came to the Lord told her, he said, you change that J-O. And she, and God told her to change her middle name to Favor. So she became Beatrice Favor Yuma. Till she became Mrs. Phillips. Yeah, praise God. Now look here. Let's look again here if we would. And we're going to look at this and see in verse 47 again. And when he heard that it was Jesus, and see, I believe he'd heard. He cried out. He'd made a decision in his heart that this is the Messiah. This is the Messiah. This is the Messiah. And he called out from that basis. Listen, all of the voices that were going up, all the crying out, everyone that it was getting, trying to get Jesus' attention. But it's the one who came to him, you might say, in Jesus' name, that got his attention that day. He began to cry out. I want you to see that. Now, I want you to hear that, because if you want things from God and you want promises of God and you want the miracle-working power of God, it's going to take more than just asking for it and watching for it to come and wondering if it will. It's going to take more. It's going to take more. Everybody say it's going to take more. It's going to take more. He began to cry out. Are you hearing that? Begin. He began to cry out. Begin to cry out. What was that word about violent? Violent what? Yeah, there you go. Psalm 18:1 says, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. Goes on in verse 6 and says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. That word for cry, crying, or cried, is krazo, K-R-A-Z-O, accent on the O, and it means this. It means to shout. It means to shout. It means to cry out. Its root word means to scream. The whole point's not volume, but it is all about force of heart. How bad do you want it? Many times God will delay because he's so good. He's so good. And he lets you deal with the challenges, because the challenges, he needs to get all of that dross out of your heart. And he's going to let you fight it. He's going to let you burn with it. He's going to let you get afflicted with it. And then there will be those that really didn't want the miracle or the answer anyway. They just wanted to see if God would do it. And then the minute they met with opposition, they laid down and quit. God sees the heart. Sometimes God delays because he's wanting to raise the temperature of our heart in whatever it is, you know, that we are looking for, we're asking for. And we start to cry out, and I don't have the right temperature of heart in my crying out. You know, there's a difference between offering to the Lord a ho-hum heart and having a heart of desperation, of need before the Lord. And so he's so good and gracious, he'll let you be tried. And when you begin to make those decisions to dig deeper, I'm not going to let go. I'm not. Help, Lord, help. He's burning that dross out. He's purifying your faith. And he's bulking you up with the faith of Almighty God. See, God's got plans for you. See, he sees you as his vessel and instrument. He wants to bring you to a higher level in your faith. I don't care how long you've been believing God. Because he wants to use you as an instrument to believe for more and greater things. If someone is over here and has barely used their faith for 25 years, and it's been more of a doctrinal reference than it has been a practice in their life, and then, you know, you want to believe for the impossible, this is hard. But I do believe this, that no matter if I say, Lord, doggone it, Lord, I mean, I haven't really been practicing faith the way that I really ought to. And you say, Lord, catch me up. Catch me up. Okay? Catch me where I should have been, where I need to be now. Oh, Lord Jesus, catch me up. Catch me up. Catch me up. And he will. It'll be a quick work. Force of heart. That's what it's talking about. So Psalm 40 verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He heard my cry. He listened to this one. This is Psalm 146 verse 6. Who keeps faith forever. Did you hear that? He keeps faith forever. Faith has such power before Almighty God. And then listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 1:11 says, to this end also we pray for you always, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. The work of faith with power. Now back here in verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus, the Nazarene, who began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And then he goes on in verse 48, and many were sternly telling him, be quiet. Well, what did Bartimaeus do? But he kept crying out all the more. The weaker you feel, the louder you get. Put it back in the devil's face. Let me say it again. The weaker you feel, the louder you get. Now, let me give you this. Challenges to your faith. I'm going to take these and dwell on them more at another date, but I will give them challenges. Number one is, I want you to hear this. Resistance always comes. Okay? Are you hearing me? When you decide to believe God, resistance, expect it. It always comes. Number one, Number one, challenges to your faith. Number one is the fiery darts of the evil one. The fiery darts of the evil one. He's going to challenge your stand in faith. You can expect it. He will use things like fear, doubt, and unbelief. He will hit you with the fiery dart of unbelief, and then he'll come right behind the fiery dart of unbelief, and he will condemn you for it. He will condemn you for what he just hit you with. Are you hearing me? Oh, yes. I'm just so doubting. Get wise. Get wise. He'll condemn you. He'll give you accusations. Well, look at you, Mr. Fine Christian. Let me just remind you what you did, what you thought in your heart the other day. You know, and you are looking for miracles from God. Oh, he loves this one. He wants you to look at your perception and for you to measure by your perception. He'll whisper in your ear, is it working yet? Hey, Mr. Christian, is it working yet? Are things changing yet? Who cares if they change? Who cares if they change? When God releases the blessing, it is changed. We're not looking for favorable circumstances. We're not looking for some visible encouragement. Are you with me? The darker it gets, the louder you get. The darker it gets, the louder you get with God. Okay, here's number two. Challenges to your faith is number two. Is the impossible odds of the situation or the circumstance, the impossible odds. I've already kind of covered that just a little bit. Speculation. You know, the evil one loves for you to speculate what will happen. And he loves to use these type of things is that I can't see how. Well, if you could see how, then it wouldn't be a miracle, wouldn't it? You just need to get up and go do it then, right? I hope you don't fall for that one. Okay, well, I can't see how. You speculate. Well, now let me see. Okay, how would that happen? Well, somebody tell me how the virgin birth happened. Somebody tell me how you got born again and got the forgiveness of your sins. Explain that one to me. Okay, third one. Third one here is number three is challenges is the thoughts of our own natural reasoning or logic. Logic will kill your faith. Go ahead and be logical, but you're not going to receive anything from God because the logic of man has got nothing to do with the childlike faith of God. You either are going to believe God and let people ridicule you, make fun of you, and think you're a little simpleton or you're a little naive thing. That's what the world loves to accuse Christians in believing on God, okay? But they're darkened in their understanding and they do not know the ways of the Lord. Important elements to your faith. We'll go through these quickly. Number one is to wait patiently in believing faith. Number one. Wait patiently, believing faith. Number two, I've already spoke it, but perseverance or endurance of faith. I find that that's where a lot of Christians fail. They fail to stand, and once they believe God, I think a lot of Christians don't know what to do after asking God. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to stand. They don't know what standing is about. We've talked about this. Fight the good fight for the faith. And so a lot of Christians believe that if there's a struggle involved, then God must not be in it. Or they believe that, well, I may not really be believing because I'm struggling. These are lies. Perseverance or endurance of faith. Let me give you some suggestions. I'm going to cover it more at a later date. Okay, you know, after you stand and you believe God, now what are you going to do? All right? Oh, and then that, you know, wait a minute now. Do I ask again? Do I not ask again? If I ask again, am I in unbelief? I don't know whether I should ask again or I don't ask ever again. Oh, give it up. Right? Because all that's meaningless. It all is based upon the heart. One heart continually asks because it believes. Another one continually asks because it's looking for some kind of reassurance of its unbelief. And if you have unbelief, oh God, shout out to the Lord and ask the Lord to take your unbelief. Are you with me there? The worst thing you can do is try to be something that you think God wants you to be when you know the reality of what you're really dealing with in your own heart. That's the worst thing that you can do. Be transparent before God. Be humble before the Lord. Tell Him where you're standing at. Tell Him that you're struggling that day. Tell Him that I'm having a problem believing, oh Lord God. Lord, I'm having doubts into my heart. Oh Lord, take my doubts. This is how the Spirit of God will move on you. But if you try to be something that you think God wants you to be, but you're not really there, you'll never see the strengthening hand of Almighty God. You know, Thanksgiving, this is one of the ways that you endure in faith, is you give thanksgiving before the Lord. You worship before the Lord. I'm not talking about up here, okay? I'm talking about you before God in your prayer time, in your prayer closet, that you spend time, okay, worshiping the Lord. You spend time giving thanksgiving. You know, take the word of God, as that was also mentioned, the sword of the Spirit. Find scriptures to stand on and shout them out to the Lord. Okay? Shout them out to the Lord and believe upon them with all of your heart. Okay? Reaffirm your faith in expectation. Okay? All right? You know, take action. Take action. Speak these things. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. Verbalize them. Receive by faith. And then this, what are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with it? In John 14, just listen, 13 through 16, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If that wasn't enough for us, in John 16, verse 23, and in that day, you will ask me no questions. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, He will give it to you in my name. NIV uses the word whatever instead of the word anything. It's the word tis, T-I-S. It means for something or various things. You're going to have to wrestle this one out with God. Are you hearing me? But it's the promise of the Lord. Oh, Lord, bring me to this faith. Bring me to this faith, right? Bring me to this faith, because this is what you have said. Now I got to close this. Let's go back up to verse 48. Verse 48 says, And many were sternly telling him to be quiet. There's always resistance, but he kept crying out all the more. Okay, in that word sternly, that word sternly right there, you know, it means with the threat of punishment. Shut up! Be quiet back there! You're bothering us. And the more they threatened him, the more he cried out. And what was he crying? Son of David, have mercy upon me. When you and I come before the Lord, we're not coming before the Lord in my name. I'm not coming in what I deserve. Oh, how the devil wants you to look at what you deserve. Dude, would you like for me to tell you what you deserve? I don't want what I deserve. But I am going to come to my God. I'm going to come to my Father. And I am going to ask in faith. And I'm going to ask with no other hope other than in Jesus' name. And I'm going to leave it all up to God as to how he does it. And then it says in verse 46, it says, and Jesus stopped. He stopped because he heard the one that was coming to him in his name only, not looking for anything. And humbling himself and just simply appealing to mercy. Oh, have mercy on me, God. You know, Jesus, Son of David. Father, in Jesus' name. And 49 says that Jesus stopped and he said, call him here. Isn't this the way of the crowd? And they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, arise. He is calling for you. You know, and a minute ago, they were threatening him. He took action because I want you to see what he did. In verse 50, and casting aside his cloak, he jumped up and he came to Jesus. Now, I would simply say, based on tradition, this cloak would have been a blind beggar man's cloak. When he jumped up, he threw off his blind man's cloak. You have to take action. You have to take action. You have to take action. It's a part of believing. You start opening your mouth. You start proclaiming audacious things, incredible things, mighty things, holy things, impossible things. The old devil will challenge you every step of the way. Oh, who do you think you are? Huh? Who do you think you are? And on and on and on. He cast off his cloak and he jumped up and he came to Jesus. I love this. Look at this, 51. And answering him, Jesus said, listen, what do you want me to do for you? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. You have to ask, and you have to ask with clarity, and you have to ask with certainty, and you have to ask having calculated the cost, as the scriptures say. I am going to believe God on this. And you ask specifically, what is your request before the Lord? And then, of course, you must believe. 1 Peter 5:15 says, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. What kind of prayer? the prayer offered in faith. God does not receive snivelly, whiny, beggy prayers. Let me say it again. He does not receive snivelly, whiny, beggy prayers. Because that's not God's way. His way is believing. You don't have to beg God. Jesus' blood paid the price. Okay? You don't have to persuade God. He's already made up his mind. The last of it. Hey, I want to regain my sight. And then in verse 52, which is most important to us, and Jesus said to him, go your way. Look at this. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight. I love this. And he began following him on the road. I'm telling you what. Now this is at the heart of it. If all you want is your blessing and your miracle, and then you want to go about your business, don't even bother. Don't even bother. But if you're willing to put yourself into the hands of God, and you say in your heart, Lord, you do with me whatever you want with me. Lord, I'll give up whatever you want me to give up. I'll be the kind of man, I'll be the kind of woman, I'll be the kind of believer that you want me to be. I'm not coming to bargain with you, Lord God. I'm coming to humble myself in your presence. I'm coming to ask of you, oh Lord God. And I'm asking you to have mercy upon me. And I need this miracle. I want you to bring this miracle, Lord God. Do whatever you want with me, Lord God. Change me. I'll be what you want me to be. That's the heart that the Spirit of God expects to have from you if you want miracles from him. This come upon me. Let me tell you what God's going to do. For some of you, the Spirit of God's releasing this right now. You know, some of you have been crying out, and God's going to give, I'm going to write it, a daring, outlandish, logic-defying faith release now. I'll read it one more time. A daring, outlandish, logic-defying faith released in the name of Jesus. I'll give you another one. I'll give you another one the Lord gave me right here. It says, I tell you, God's got a way. Some of you stubborn people out there, God's going to take your stubbornness and he's going to purify it. And what the enemy has used against you, God's going to use against him. A stubborn, doubt-resisting faith being poured out. Be released now. Renewed faith, I pray for right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you renew those that have been wounded, have been hurt, and they're afraid. In the name of Jesus, heal that wound. Right now, in Jesus' name, heal the wound. And Lord, bring renewing of their faith right now in the name of Jesus. Increase. Bring increase. Now, let increase right now in Jesus' name. Let increase come. Let increase come. A catch-up for all the years missed. In Jesus' name, increase now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for added portions being poured out in the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, you be released now upon your people. Oh, Holy Spirit, you be released now upon your people. Added portions fall now. Oh.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Okay. Yes, please come. I had this on my heart. Acts 13:49 says, and the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. Proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world through this mystery of godliness, believed on through the world, Acts 11:21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. And then lastly, it says right here in this statement, you know, by common confession, you know, so this is the experience of those in Christ who take on and walk after this godliness that he's talking about. By common confession is this mystery of godliness. And the last statement is this, taken up in glory. Taken up in glory. You know, Acts 2:24 says, and God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Death couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. Expect what you don't have. Expect what you don't have. Expect what you're not. Expect what you're not. Are you hearing me? Expect what you are not. Set your sights higher. Set your sights higher. Right? He will do it. He will do it. I've had something on my heart. And we'll pray a couple of things, if you don't mind. Number one. Somebody, person or persons, are being afflicted with nightmares. Nightmares. Nightmares have been bothering you. Nightmares. I don't mean every night, necessarily. It's been afflicting you. I'm going to pray over it. Father, in the name of Jesus, these nightmares will stop and they'll be no more. And I rebuke every afflicted work that the enemy seeks to bring. Nightmare stop. Let sleep be sweet in the name of Jesus. Insomnia, go. Insomnia, go. Now. Go now in the name of Jesus. Let sleep be sweet. In Jesus' name. I got another one. Grief. Grief. I know different ones have suffered loss of loved ones. I mean that grief, but I don't just mean that grief. Grief. You can have grief in other ways. You can suffer loss in other ways. There are place and time to grieve, right? And then there's a place and time for it to be healed. Grief. Grief over relationships. Grief over changes. And this is my prayer. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come in the midst of your grief, okay? Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come now, come now, come now, Holy Spirit, in the midst of grief, bring the healing power of God, the restoring power of God. You come, Holy Spirit, in the midst of grief. Let the woundedness of grief be gone. Let the woundedness of grief be gone. Let the woundedness of grief be gone in Jesus' name. I got a last one. Bishop, I want you to come up here with me right now. Who needs healing in their ankles? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Come on, Kathy, would you come and lay hands here? Keep your hand up. Who else? Your ankles are hurting or afflicted or whatever it would be. Okay, go ahead. Just go if you would. You know, right? Thank you. Thank you, Father God.